Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the program. So glad to have you with us live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. And our daily reminder, if you can't be with us live in the 11 a.m. hour, you can still catch the Hoosier Report as a podcast. We're on Apple Podcast, also SoundCloud as well. And no matter how you're with us, we're glad you're with us. And we've got plenty to get to today. To be right in the middle of a pandemic, Yesterday was a big news day. Jeffersonville hires a new basketball coach, boys and girls basketball coach. There were a number of announcements and I guess you could say somewhat expected cancellations that are going to affect some recruiting stuff this summer into the month of July. The way I look at it now, we're basically done with basketball, at least at a recruiting level, a college level, through the end of the month of July as the calendar stands now, and other things to get to. So I want to jump right into the show today. The show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one here in just a few moments. We've got our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Again, new Jeff coach. We'll tell you all about that. A couple announcements from the NABC and the NCAA on recruiting. I guess a somewhat surprise transfer, another transfer. And it's not a transfer yet, but they've at least entered the transfer portal. Nojel Eastern of Purdue announced yesterday that he is going to enter the portal, and a couple other things I want to get to as far as college sports and the pandemic goes if we have time here in this first segment. Later in the program, segment two today, as always, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins. We're going to talk about some of the college basketball happenings that I'm going to mention here in the headline segment. We're going to talk some IU basketball as well with Dustin a little later in the program. And then to wrap things up today, new Jeffersonville coach, Andrew Grants. He's the former Providence coach. He was approved last night in a virtual meeting of the Greater Clark County Schools School Board meeting. He's going to join us on the program today to talk about his new position and what he's been up to in between time at Providence and, of course, as he gets ready to take over the Jeffersonville program as well. So all sorts of things to get to in the program today. That is the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. If you spend $15 at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, you're eligible for a large bone-in ham at 50% off. That's quite a deal. I don't know how long it's going to last, so make sure you head out to Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and take advantage of that special. Again, if you spend $15, you're eligible to buy a large bone-in ham at 50% off. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Last night, the Greater Clark County School Board, as I mentioned, approved Andrew Grants as the new Jeffersonville boys basketball coach. Grants, of course, is most known in coaching. He's a young guy, but he's most known in coaching thus far for being the coach for three seasons between 2014 and 2017 at Providence, which was his alma mater. And that highlight came in that final year. He led Providence as the coach to a semi-state, which was really a surprise. The Pioneers got hot at the end of the year. They played really well in the tournament, had some key players that helped them get that far, and a good close to things at Providence for Grants, who then went to Florida to coach some high school basketball for a few seasons and then got back to the Midwest area most recently. He's been in the St. Louis area coaching at a NAIA school, Missouri Baptist, and that's where he's been. He's been home, as a lot of people have that maybe have a job out of town during the pandemic, because the campus at Missouri basketball at Missouri Baptist has been closed. And so Andrew, his wife came back. You know, he kind of had an itch to get back to the area. I had an idea of that a few months ago or a month or so ago, and began to wonder and inquire about some of the jobs that were open or that could come open in the area. Of course, Andrew, I know who I've known forever. I think many of us have known forever. He did that Stay Home Skills Competition, which was one of the virtual programs we did for kids to kind of stay active. And so it was great to reconnect with him on that. And through that, I understood that, you know, he'd like to come back to the area and this time maybe put some roots down for a number of years. So Jeffersonville works out for him, and that will be interesting to see how it plays out, because you inherit a job like so many of the new coaches that we've spoke with, the new Providence football coach. Yesterday we spoke with Christian Academy of Indiana boys basketball coach Hayden Casey, and there have been others, but you take a job, you're so excited to get to know the kids and to meet everybody and to get in the gym when you can or get on the field when you can, but you can't right now. It's everything's closed. There are no activities allowed. School campuses are closed. And so we think about, will there be anything in July? Will there be anything over the summer? It's even more important for the new coaches that are taking programs over. And it's not even important from a perspective of trying to, like, game plan or get plays or offenses or defenses in, just the basic things, getting to know your program. And I guess virtually you can do some of that now. We'll talk with Andrew a little later in the program about getting the job and what his plan is to get to know the Red Devils in this odd time when you can't just call a team meeting and he can't be introduced by the athletic director, at least in person. So Andrew Grant's with us later on the program, and he's the new Jeffersonville boys basketball coach. Also a shout out as well to Chris Moore. He came in for 1 year, was named the interim coach. I know he reapplied for the permanent job. I know ultimately he didn't have the success probably that he hoped to have in this year, which was a very talented Jeffersonville team. And he had success in the regular season. They played an unbelievable schedule. And when I say he didn't have success, probably had more aspirations, obviously, to do well in the tournament. But I thought he did a great job for the situation that he inherited. He's someone that's got a very strong background in basketball, both at the high school and college level, both in Louisville, in Southern Indiana. And it will be interesting to see what is next for him. He's a very well-connected guy with college programs and coaches, and it'll be interesting to see if he wants to stay in the high school game, is able to get a job locally for next season. Not as many jobs, I don't feel like, are opening because of the pandemic. More people maybe extending that retirement another year or so, maybe not wanting to leave their school hanging in the middle of a pandemic. So or maybe he jumps back to college, but definitely a shout out to Chris Moore for his leadership of the Jeffersonville program for a year. I do want to mention Missy Voiles, a longtime high school basketball girls coach in the area. She had lots of success at North Harrison. Obviously, they had some terrific teams under her leadership as a coach, and she will take over the girls basketball program at Jeffersonville as well, and she was officially approved last night at that school board meeting. Couple announcements from the NCAA yesterday, and one from the NABC, which is the Coaches Association. The NABC and the Women's Coaches Association and the NCAA, it says, are working together to identify alternative recruiting opportunities this summer, maybe this fall, who knows? They didn't say fall, but people assume that if, you know, June's canceled with high school stuff, if July is going to be off, which it is, in most cases it looks like, maybe there'll be some extensions into August or September for coaches to get on the road, and most importantly for the players to get out, not only play, but to be seen by college coaches. So in light of COVID-19, the release said the NABC and the Women's Basketball Coaches Association have recommended an extension of the recruiting dead period through July 31st, which obviously would include the Peach Jam and the Shoe Circuit stuff and even regionally, local tournaments for players that may not be Division I caliber players, but still players that can play the game at a high level in college. The NCAA also yesterday announcing a couple things. First, they announced that their college basketball academy, they run four of them across the country. Last summer was the first time they had ever had this academy system. It was one of the things recommended in the report that came down with Condoleezza Rice and the others that were on the College Basketball Commission trying to rid AAU and summer basketball from some of the underhanded stuff that has reportedly taken place. A lot of this came out after the FBI investigation. So the NCAA was going to run for at least one of the live weekends, which is a four-day period typically. They were going to just run their own regional camps. They invite the players, their coaches, high school coaches work the camps. And there were mixed reviews, to be quite honest, last year because camp basketball, and we talked a lot about this last summer, camp basketball is not the same as bringing your full team that's played and practiced. These high-level AAU shoe sponsor teams, they're really good as a team in many cases and also outstanding individually as well because you're getting the best of the best on the same roster together. So the academy is more of a camp setting. The basketball's not as good. Coaches probably don't get as much out of it from a team perspective watching the games that they have. But nonetheless, it's been canceled. It takes place in late July. It replaced one of the weekends where there used to be lots of AAU, and I think it was the Las Vegas and Orlando weekend late in the month for coaches to get out. It's basically replaced that, but it won't happen this year. So with the recruiting period being suggested to be extended to dead period to July 31st, and with the announcement that the college basketball academies that the NCAA puts together are canceled, you can basically wipe off July, at least for basketball that involves any travel and basketball that's played at a high level for high school prospects. Looks like we'll go another month with not a lot to follow from a recruiting perspective. Also yesterday, very interesting announcement from Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA. He said that he's going to leave decisions. The NCAA is leaving all decisions on start dates for not just football, but for all fall sports that the NCAA oversees to university presidents. Of course, their staffs would include athletic directors and to state officials as well. He basically said he didn't feel it was the role of the NCAA to dictate a common start date, whether it's an on-time date, whether it's a late date, given that so many different situations with the coronavirus are happening across the country. Yesterday, California, their state system, which has all kinds of schools in that state system, canceled college sports for the fall as a whole. College campus classes on campus as a whole for the fall. So if there are no campuses at any school in California, will they allow athletes to come play? I wouldn't think so. What does that mean for the future of college football and college sports? What we do know is that I think it's very much up in question still. Also, we do know that the NCAA is not going to set any sort of overview. It's going to be left up to individual schools, and maybe even conferences could get together collectively and decide things. And also, there could be, and Emmert even is quoted on this, there could be situations where certain conferences want to play or able to play, but maybe certain schools say, no, we're not having sports if our kids are not back in campus or not on the campus. And that very likely is going to be the situation at some schools. And again, you've got other schools that continue to say, and Purdue being one of them, I think Kentucky's announced this as well, they're going to do everything possible to get kids back on campus for the fall. So it's not going to be, I think people think that the NCAA is going to call a press conference and say, here's what's going to happen with college football, or at least here's the plan for college football. It's going to start late. There's not going to be any fans, all the different things that you could expect them to say right now, but it's not going to be that. It's going to be an individual school, and individual government officials in that state, that area, are going to have to decide what they are going to allow or not allow. Then conferences will have to piece together. The NCAA will have to piece together from there as they get ready for their ultimate championships, which is what the NCAA really runs. They run the championships and set the laws and the guidelines that everyone has to abide by. A couple other quick headlines to get to. Little surprise yesterday, Nojel Eastern at Purdue announced that he was entering the transfer portal. He averaged 4.9 points, 4 rebounds, and 2.7 assists per game last season for Purdue. Interesting to see where he goes. A little interesting to see, I think, that he transferred from Purdue. We'll talk with Dustin about this coming up here in just a little bit. But another transfer, you don't see that very often from Purdue, an upperclassman, a senior transfer from the Boilermakers heading out this season. One other note, New Albany basketball coach Jim Shannon, they hosted an online awards night. You can't have banquets. You can't do some of the things that normally in person you would do right now. Really, you can't do anything, right, that you would normally do as a sports team and really in many areas of life right now. They had their banquet essentially online last night. Every 5 minutes in the 7 o'clock hour, a different award post. You know, all teams have an MVP and different awards, best free throw shooter, best 3-point shooter. Each team does it a little different, but the MVP last night, named by the New Albany basketball program, Caden Stanton, just a sophomore for the Bulldogs. He had a really good year. He won a lot of the different statistical categories for New Albany in their awards that were announced online and ultimately winds up with the MVP award. He's going to be a fun player to watch over the next few years here in high school basketball in the area. And I'll tell you what, very interesting to see virtual and online programming. We've tried to do a couple things, you know, with basketball, the skills and drills with the 15 coaches. We did the stay home skill competition, which Coach Grants and Coach John Fania helped with. I saw Silver Creek, Coach Hoffman next week. They're going to do a virtual basketball camp where every day the campers, the Silver Creek youngsters, get some directions online and can send in their results and send in videos of their work as well. The online awards last night, Fred Gesswine is doing a virtual track meet with some area high school athletes. We're going to talk more about that when those results are in or share those with you. So it's really neat to see virtual online programming happen, and it's going to be interesting to see once this is all behind us and there's a vaccine, do some things, meetings, sports, whatever it be, do there continue to be virtual programming? But hats off to the coaches and others that are coming up with some of these ideas, like Coach Hoffman at Silver Creek for the obviously for the virtual basketball camp, and then all the coaches in the area that kind of work together for the skills and drills program online. It's been really neat to see. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Stay with us. We have a lot more coming up. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic in the next segment. Also, still ahead, later in the program, we'll talk with new Jeffersonville basketball coach Andrew Grants. And don't forget, we got our senior profiles. We take a look at a different senior from an area school that lost their entire senior season of a spring sport. Today we go to New Albany, we go to the softball team, and we preview one of their players coming up a little bit later in the program. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, who joins on Wednesdays. We talk IU basketball. We talk college hoops. Of course, right now, Dustin, it seems like it doesn't matter what we talk about. It gets canceled. And yesterday was a big day for, not a good day, but a big day for some additional information to come out. We found that the NABC, the Women's Basketball Coaches Association, as well, recommend that the recruiting period, the dead period, is extended through July 31st, which basically ensures that basketball, the recruiting trail is postponed in July, and also that the NCAA is calling off their college basketball academies for this summer of 2020 as well. As things maybe in some parts of the country start to reopen and maybe get better, other parts still have some concerns. No risk going to be taken as far as traveling to some of these shoe circuit events and NCAA certified events for coaches to watch, because it looks like it's going to be a dead period now in July.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And obviously the AAU events, if you really think about it, are the sort of thing that would be, you know, a concern. It's a good way to, you know, for its purpose. It's supposed to mix people from a bunch of different parts of the country. And you go to a event in Dallas or Indianapolis or whatever, and you bring, you know, literally people from every corner of the country. And, you know, so basically if something is there, if there's a virus outbreak there, you have a chance to bring it all there and spread it everywhere. So it's one of those things where it's like, even if you were going to pull something off, you'd really have to regionalize it this year. And I don't think it's out of the question that you might see something like that if certain states and certain regions really advance and get to the point that they're not seeing a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if you see somebody try to create some events, if not for the purpose of recruiting, at least for the purpose of getting these kids out of the house and giving them something to do. Ultimately, when you're talking about really nationwide events like the UIBL and the Adidas Gauntlet Series and Under Armour Series, when you're literally talking about, you know, like every event brings somebody from New York, California, and everybody in between, that's a tougher sell even than I think starting up the season, because again, you are literally bringing people from affected areas all into one place, all putting them all under one roof in some of these big old warehouse, fieldhouse gyms you got. So that definitely seems like a bad recipe for spreading stuff and something around. So not surprised to see them be a little bit proactive on that. And even if you were to make a lot of progress, you know, the organization becomes an issue. It's like, are you going to commit to this or not? We're getting to that sort of point of no return where you either have to do it or not do it. And if you're not sure, you err on the side of caution. And that sort of makes sense for these events at this point.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is my guest. And I guess to have some basketball, if it's safe, is a good thing for players at any level, whether it's one of these, you know, highfalutin events with that maybe you can bring in regional teams, or even if it's something locally, with what kids and student-athletes have lost, I think activity is good for them, again, if it's safe. But the greater concern for many people is, for many coaches, and I'm sure parents as well, that so much has been lost for the senior class, obviously, for guys that were trying to make their decisions late. And then even for the junior class, I've talked a lot about Trey Kaufman as an example. Even though he's got lots of offers, he's going to get college paid for, he's going to play at a high level, he's got plenty of guys, plenty of coaches after him. You wonder, would the spring, with 2 weekends for coaches to be out, would we be talking at this point of the spring about new offers, not just Virginia, but maybe Duke or North Carolina or Kentucky for Trey Kaufman? So missing the recruiting, no matter what happens in July, as it looks like it's becoming a dead period through at least the end of the month, is not good for generally. And again, we're talking about Trey at the very top of the food chain of recruiting. Think about guys on the far opposite end of the spectrum that they just want to play basketball in college. They don't care what level it is, but they need to be seen because maybe they didn't get seen in their high school year or whatever the case is. So as the recruiting gets pushed back, the opportunities to see kids, it's tough for a lot of kids, and you got to feel for some people here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you just never know what opportunity is going to make the difference. I mean, that's the thing about this, about the AAU. AAU is not really the name, but you know what I mean. And basically, this grassroots basketball, these events. I mean, you just never know when you're going to catch somebody's eye and when someone's going to see you and say, okay, wait a minute, why didn't I know about him already? And maybe he fits a need you don't realize you have, but you have now based on the other guys you got. Maybe there's a hole there that you didn't know you were going to have, or, you know, maybe you lose some people, or maybe, you know, he shows you something you didn't think you needed. You just never know how guys can play their way into a role, into a spot at a higher program than they thought. Or, you know, again, you just, if you're a Trey Kaufman, maybe you get out there and you start playing against, you're at these bigger events and you start showing out against guys that are higher recruited guys, maybe that are already committed to Duke or North Carolina. And then maybe the guy, you know, maybe Duke or North Carolina sees you and you say, okay, wow. Or maybe it's somebody else, the Louisville, the Kansas, Syracuse or something like that. Basically just guys that haven't necessarily seen you. They've had other focal points and all of a sudden you show up in their radar and they think, okay, you know, that's a game changer. I mean, and you've seen that in the past, and you've definitely seen cases. It always seems to be the rhythm goes, you know, and you get on the radar of your local schools first. If you're an Indiana kid, you know, Indiana and Purdue know you by the time, you know, by your freshman year, basically, if you're playing at all, or your sophomore year, if you weren't on varsity as a freshman, they at least have you on their radar. You know, by junior year, they know if they're, you know, going to recruit you. And, you know, by senior year is really the chance you have to really spread out. I mean, I guess if you're already a top flight kid, if you're a Romeo or somebody like that, everybody knows you already, but, you know, maybe you have more of a chance, you know, in this junior summer, basically in between, again, when it is sort of the highest level, and when, you know, guys are making their decisions, you know, that's when you really have a chance to show out against the best guys and really kind of show where you really belong in the class. And a lot of things shake out there. And again, I've seen guys, you know, and I think I told this story last week, and the guy that really stands out for me is somebody that made a name for himself at one of these events was Aaron Harris, who's a guy that played, you know, I think it was Lawrence North, I want to say. And, you know, he was one of the sort of filler guys on the team with Yogi Ferrell and Hanna Perea. And Ron Patterson and Jeremy Hollowell and all those guys. And, you know, they obviously need a few more guys to fill out that roster. And he was one of those dudes. And he really showed out at the Adidas Invitational up in Indianapolis, which was, you know, just used to be a packed house in those days. And, you know, by the end of the week, he had all kinds of offers. I think Wisconsin, and he ended up going to West Virginia. But a lot of people jumped on. I mean, he wasn't the guy on that team, but he showed enough stuff and, you know, sort of a very versatile game that the coaches were like, you know what, I could use a kid like that. And, you know, again, he was not on really anybody's radar. And by the end of the week, he's getting major conference offers. So, you know, you never know what kids are losing with these opportunities. And you can't really guess. Obviously, like you said, a bunch of the guys that were going to get offers are going to get them anyway. And the, you know, recruiting guys, the assistants are going to work hard to find guys. But again, you never know who could have played themselves up to a higher rung of the food chain, basically. I mean, that's really what's being lost here. You know, so guys that maybe, you know, made a leap that nobody else saw over this past year for whatever reason, you know, maybe they, you know, are a smaller school and didn't get to stand out or whatever. You just never know what opportunity is being lost by these guys not having a spring or a summer to show out in front of college coaches.
Absolutely. Talking with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. He covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic, and joins our radio show on Wednesdays. Jumping around a bit, but I do want to talk about another player apparently leaving Purdue. Nojel Eastern, yesterday it was announced by the school, has entered the transfer portal. And I've always thought that he is an interesting player. I think he's won some defensive awards, maybe one or two seasons while at Purdue. And I think, and you could correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think maybe he had a little bit of a disappointing season in some ways this past year, but still very interesting to see that he is now another player, another upperclassman, another senior leaving this Purdue program, entering his name in the portal yesterday.
Yeah, no, obviously, you know, Purdue lost its senior class. I mean, they had two guys that had one that had been starters on that Elite Eight team. They both go in their seniors and decide to leave. And so it's an interesting predicament, but in the same way, you know, neither one of those guys was guaranteed playing time this year. I mean, they really fit well with Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein and Grady Eifert, and sort of gave that team some you know, elements it didn't have. But basically, you know, they're sort of more redundant. A little bit more redundant with this group. Now, Eastern gives you defense that you wouldn't ordinarily have. He is really a terrific defender, two-time All-Big Ten defensive player. You know, this year he didn't have as many steals, and you didn't see him show out, as much because he was playing off the ball. They were using Eric Hunter off the ball and letting Nojel take bigger wings because Eric Hunter's a smaller guy. Whenever he would have to defend the ball, I mean, he could just own guys. But the thing is, offensively, I mean, he never really found it, and they were able to carve out a role for him on the Elite Eight team because they had other guys on the floor to spread the floor. You know, with Edwards and Klein and Eifert, you know, they didn't need him to hit any three, so he would bring the ball up as a point guard and then go post up his guy. And basically, the matchups worked out well that he was always being defended by somebody smaller, so he could take somebody on the block and bully them. And because you were trying to use length to guard Edwards and to guard Klein, you weren't necessarily using the bigger defender on Eastern, even though he is bigger, and he would take advantage of that fact. And he could get a whole bunch of buckets around the rim. This year, you know, he was bringing the ball up a lot or playing off the ball. And when he was playing off the ball, there's not even you know, there's only so much you could do with him. He was still being defended by bigger guys, so the post-up wasn't as effective. He had a hard time getting the rim. He could get there off the bounce, but he didn't have a jump shot, really. And he'd been working on it for years, and he made some improvements with it this year. That didn't go particularly well. He got way worse at the free throw line. So at a certain point, I mean, he does kind of clog you up a little bit on the offensive end because you almost have to run stuff for him. He doesn't sort of naturally find offense. And, you know, again, you might be, if you're playing him off the ball, the two or the three or even the four, you know, it's not easy for him to get his own shot. And he can break you down off the dribble some at the one. But then you're moving some guys off the ball that maybe belong on the ball. You know, and Eric Hunter and certainly an Isaiah Thompson is a guy who is not as effective off the ball or smaller guys. So it just made for sort of a funky situation. And, you know, Eastern, I think, believes he's an NBA player and believes that he deserves a shot at the NBA. And they were never going to, you know, design the offense around him. They were never going to try to show him off. I mean, I think he wants to prove that he can be a better jump shooter. But, I mean, he hasn't made a three-point shot since his freshman year. He's 3 of 16 for his career. He's got a lot to prove if he's going to belong on that level. He's just not there. So it might make sense for him to take a year off if they're going to, you know, if they're not going to change the transfer rules. You know, go someplace else, you know, spend some time working on those skills and then try to be someplace as a fifth-year guy that he might be the focal point of an offense. They might just, you know, give him the ball and get out of his way. But they've got too many really good offensive weapons, you know, to have a chance to play on this team. Hunter and Thompson and Stefanovic and, you know, Brandon Newman coming off of his, you know, redshirt season that are going to be sort of more natural offensive players that are going to be able to spread the floor a little bit more. You know, so it – you could sort of see how he saw maybe the role wasn't going to be the same as he would hope for a senior season. And if he wants to be a professional, especially if he wants to be an NBA player, he's got to show some things that he hasn't shown yet.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, my guest. Dustin, I want to close with this. It's not necessarily basketball, but yesterday we saw a couple important announcements for the future of sports as we try to make a return from the coronavirus. California, their state system, their schools canceling on-campus classes for at least the fall next year. Also, Mark Emmert, president of the NCAA, and I mentioned this in our headline segment today, he came out yesterday and is quoted as saying that the NCAA, they're really not going to set a date for starts of football or any fall sport. That is something he feels with what's going on is up to local officials, state officials, and, of course, university presidents and their athletic directors and their staff. So could be interesting to see what happens with college football. I think you're going to see some schools and maybe even conferences that want to press ahead and play football somewhat normal for whatever the new normal is. And I think you'll see others like California schools and others that don't have on-campus classes in the fall. They may not have a football season. I'm not sure we're going to get everything synced up where you see a late football year or a spring football year. It's going to be very interesting. So much up in the air, especially after yesterday's announcements.
Yeah, no, I think there's a good chance that so much is on the table right now. I mean, I think there are a lot, like, I don't think that, for instance, I think if you're a state that ends up pretty cleared by the time that this thing is, you know, by like July or August, if you're looking around, there's not no new cases, and there's not new deaths, and basically, like, and you're starting to look around and say, okay, we don't need to do this anymore. You're going to, you know, have a lot of push for there to be a college football season. So I wouldn't be surprised if you start to see, you know, schools kind of talk to each other. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you see everybody going independent sort of for a year, you know, basically of not really even depending on conferences, because I mean, I think you are going to see definitely some areas where, you know, I mean, you look at the Pac-12. I mean, I think that's a perfect scenario. I mean, I think on the same day that the California state system says that it's not going to go to school in the fall, Arizona says we can play major league sports next week if you want to. So you're going to have a situation there where you're definitely going to have, you know, some schools out west. Some states out west are going to feel really comfortable playing, in some places that very much do not. You know, same deal with the Big Ten. I mean, I think, you know, overall you've seen generally good signs from a lot of the you know, states in the Midwest are had been really proactive in terms of how they've handled this and hoping that it's going to get better. But, you know, you look at Penn State. the issue at UMass. I went to Penn State. Basically, you're talking about a lot of New York and New Jersey kids go there. A lot of Philadelphia kids go there, and that's certainly a hotspot for this virus. And it's a thing, you know, it just as a guy from Pittsburgh, my family's been fine. There hasn't been a ton of cases out in Pittsburgh. The fastest way that you can get something from New York to Pittsburgh is through a Penn State football game. So you're going to have situations where maybe there's some schools in certain conferences, they don't necessarily want to activate it. They don't necessarily want to be a part of it. Again, I mean, Rutgers is in the Big Ten, so, you know, you're right in the middle of it right there. So, you know, you might have situations where you're creating games against some schools in your conference, but not all of them. You're not necessarily trying to play a full league schedule because you're not trying to, you know, go up against or play with schools that are closer to the, you know, again, the most really the epicenter of this at this point. So, I mean, I would expect a lot of shakeups when it comes to scheduling. And again, it might be just end up being a sort of independent season. I mean, I think people will want to play college football. I think there's a lot of reason, you know, when it comes to state budgets, not just, you know, university budgets, but state budgets about playing college football. I mean, I think it is important from a financial standpoint for a lot of state institutions to try to play it if it can be played. But in the same way, it's potentially an extremely dangerous thing. You probably won't. I mean, I don't expect to see fans. I mean, I'd be really surprised to see fans in college football games this year. But I think a lot of people are going to want to try to play, and I think they're going to have to maybe step outside of typical conference and even NCAA, you know, boundaries in terms of scheduling, in terms of how they do it. I mean, you might have a lot of voided contracts, a lot of contracts started over just to make a game happen and make there be some semblance of a college football season to help everything else go. If nothing else, you at least get the TV money, and I think that's going to be there because people are going to want, especially if we're still not going out a lot at that point, people are going to really want to watch college football in the fall.
Yeah, no question. Some interesting days ahead as we see what happens with not just college sports, but sports on the professional level as well. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, we covered a lot of topics. Dustin, as always, thanks for the chat.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We will head to a commercial break and come back with our final segment. We'll talk with new Jeffersonville coach. He was approved last night as the new coach of the Red Devils, Andrew Grants, coming up in the next segment. Also, we'll close the show today with our senior spotlight, a profile today on a New Albany High School softball player. Madison Lawson is who we'll tell you all about. She's a great softball player, a great student as well, and she lost her senior season, as did so many athletes, because of the pandemic, and we'll highlight her career and who she is later in the show today. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this final segment. Andrew Grants, the new Jeffersonville coach, joins in just a moment. Also, our senior spotlight to end the show will tell you about Madison Lawson, a New Albany High School softball player, as we wrap things up today. Coach Grants is my guest. He was approved last night in a virtual meeting of the Greater Clark County School Board as Jeffersonville's new boys basketball coach. Coach, before we get into anything big, first off, congratulations and welcome back to Southern Indiana.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It is great to be back in Southern Indiana. I have an incredible love for this area, and there's just no place for basketball like Southern Indiana. So I'm very, very excited to be back.
Andrew, you're a young guy, but that doesn't mean you haven't had lots of experience and a number of different stops in your coaching career. I think most notable, at least to people that live here in this area, were the seasons you spent at your alma mater at Providence High School, which you had some special years there. You made a trip to the Semi-State, which was really a great year for basketball in our area across the board. What did your time at Providence, that was truly your first head coaching job from a situation of running the program day in and day out, what did you learn from that, and maybe reminisce about some of those good moments you and the Pioneers had?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, especially being, you know, extremely young coach at that point and just kind of getting started, you know, I'm very appreciative of Providence for giving me that first opportunity, you know, to begin my coaching career. But just, you know, I learned a lot. I learned a lot of things, hands-on, and, you know, that was a great experience. You know, all my other coaching experiences since then have been great experiences. You know, I think the thing that I, you know, took away from that group that I had at Providence was just the special kids that I had. They were hardworking kids. They were coachable kids. They were a good team unit. And, you know, that was just a lot of fun for me as a coach to be able to coach that type of quality kids. And, you know, and everybody I've talked to at Jeffersonville, and I've been, you know, I was on the phone till 1 o'clock last night just talking to a lot of people in Jeffersonville. And it sounds like there's a lot of great kids at Jeffersonville too. And I'm going to be reaching out to them today and talking with them. And, you know, I think it'll be very similar just as far as good quality coachable kids. You know, we're going to create some good team culture and team environment. You know, it's going to kind of carry our successes going forward.
And a little bit more about your background. Obviously, we know about Providence, but you've had a good mix of some high school experience and some assistant coaching opportunities in college as well. It's a pretty good mix as you come to take over a 4A program like the Red Devils.
Yeah, I think all those experiences, you know, will help serve me, you know, going forward. You know, at the end of the day, no matter what level you're at, you know, the most important thing is to make sure that you're caring for the kids, to make sure that you're putting them in positions that they could be successful. You know, our goal with our players is going to try to help them reach their full potential as players. And we know that if we do that and we focus on that every day, that the results will take care of themselves. But we want to, you know, the things that I've learned through those other experiences that I'll carry forward to me is that it's not so much about winning a championship. You have to become a champion first. And then when you become a champion, then the byproduct of the winning a championship takes care of itself. So we're going to go in every day and approach every day with the mindset that we want to become champions with how hard we work every day.
Andrew Grant's new Jeffersonville coach, my guest. Coach, you've been obviously a basketball guy forever as a player and as a fan and as a coach. And growing up here in Southern Indiana, I know you kept a very close eye on all the schools and you recruited a lot of the schools when you were at IU Southeast and some of the other college stops that you have. But did you ever think your basketball career would take you to lead a program like Jeffersonville, which has had so much success in its history and had so many great players over the years?
You know, this is a dream come true for me. I said this last night. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Jeffersonville, the tradition, the history, the fan support, the Red Devil faithful. I mean, there's nothing like it. And I'm just very excited to be able to lead this program. You know, and I want to continue and build upon the tradition that's already been there, but I want to take it to another level. And I want to do that and be a positive impact in the community, you know, in the city of Jeffersonville, and make sure that we're not just impacting just a basketball program, but we're impacting an entire city in a positive way. So I'm very excited about the opportunity and the challenge that presents. But we're going to work our hardest to make sure that we're doing our best for everybody in a very special community that cares very much about their basketball program.
Coach Grants, how do you inherit a job? How do you take over a job in this time and you can't call a team meeting today? You know, Todd Satterley, your athletic director, Pam Hall, your principal, they can't call a meeting and introduce you and have a celebration to welcome the new coach. It can't be done right now. It doesn't matter if it's at Jeff or where you're at really in the country. What do you do? How do you meet the team? How do you get to know these guys during this pandemic when you can't call them together? You can't start open gyms and workouts. You're not going to be able to play games in June and maybe not at all this summer. Who knows? What's the next few days look like for you as you take things over?
Yeah, this is unique. And you mentioned Pam Hall and Todd Satterley, and I, you know, definitely want to make sure that I thank them for this opportunity and really appreciate, them giving me this opportunity. But, yeah, it's a unique time. It is a challenge. It's different. Every time that I've been introduced as a head coach, I've been able to go meet my team right away and get to know them. Even though it's a challenge and it's a different situation, I think that you have to find the positive avenues and the positive things that you can get out of it. For me, what I believe that I could use this time for is building those relationships with my players off the court. I think so many times as coaches, we get in tunnel vision of win, X's and O's, and we're thinking basketball all the time. And as a coach, you can never, ever spend too much time getting to know a player and getting to know your team personally off the court if you really care about them and want to make sure that they are succeeding with life after basketball. So I'm really going to take this time just to make phone calls to all the players and to all their families here over the next few days and just get to know them outside of basketball and kind of build those relationships. And I really do believe that that those bonds that we can create relationship-wise now will carry over, and move forward. And hopefully once everything gets going, started back up, that those relationships are established and we're able to jump right into the basketball side of things, and hit the ground running a little bit better. And we'll do some stuff. We're going to do a lot of online workouts. And I've been talking with Coach Boyles on the girls' side and trying to come up with some different creative ideas of how we can kind of get maybe the boys in a competition against the girls' team and make it fun for the kids and try to make it fun for the community. But, we're definitely going to be doing online skills and different training and that type of stuff. But it's different and it's unique, but it's also an opportunity to build really good, strong relationships.
Coach Grants, I know you have some hopes for the program and some plans as you really dig in as the new head coach that don't even involve just the high school teams and the players. You've expressed to me that you want to be involved in the community. You want to get to know the young players. And really, it kind of underscores a thought that I'm not sure we talk about or that, again, the average listener might realize. But being a high school basketball coach, especially in Indiana where basketball is king, it really requires a lot of things. It requires you to be a promoter. It requires you to be a community person. It requires you to be involved with youth basketball. There are so many different hats that you have to wear. Talk about some of your plans with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to, and I believe that the most successful programs at the high school level have tremendous feeder programs. So I'm already working on some plans of how we're going to build our feeder program. Actually, matter of fact, whenever I was in high school, I used to be a coach in the JYBL whenever I was in high school and coached a seventh grade team in the JYBL. So, just kind of getting that community, that high school connection back with the younger players and really creating a good grassroots system to develop those players up into the high school. That stuff I want to do. I also want to create a brand around Jeffersonville. I want to create a feel to the high school that is unique, that is different than any other feel in the area. And I want to make sure that it's a premier program as far as the brand and the feeling that the community has when they step into the gym and they see what we're about. And I think that'll help with the feeder program as well, as far as getting those kids excited and wanting to come to Jeffersonville and be a part of something special. And so very excited about getting that started. There's a lot of work to be done. It is kind of a unique time with the COVID and everything, but we're still going to get to work. I'm, getting to work today, and I'm going to make sure that we're planting and establishing that foundation that's going to lead us to those successes going forward.
Andrew Grants, new Jeffersonville boys basketball coach, approved last night. Coach Grants, great to reconnect with you. We had some fun when you were at Providence with some things we did on the radio and elsewhere, and it's great to know we'll have a chance to work together in that capacity again. So I look forward to it, and as always, thanks for being with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Matt.
All right. Coach Grants of the Red Devils, our guest to wrap things up today. Final quick thing. We always close with a senior spotlight. This is for a spring sport athlete here in Clark and Floyd counties that has lost their final year of their spring sport due to the pandemic that we currently find ourselves in. And today, we go to New Albany High School. Softball player Madison Lawson is who we profile. She plays softball and girls track and field for the Bulldogs, so she takes on double duty. Normally, a very, very busy spring for Madison Lawson when you look at her athletic and, of course, academic responsibilities as well. Athletically, she lettered in varsity softball three times. She was the 2018 Softball Defensive Player of the Year, and she also lettered in girls track and field in the pole vault event. Academically, AB honor roll, freshman and sophomore year, all A honor roll her junior year. She'll be graduating in May later this month with academic honors, that diploma from New Albany High School. And her plans are to obtain an associate's degree from Ivy Tech in April of 2020. Actually, she's already got that based on her high school credits and her success so far. Other hobbies, she's involved with children's ministry at Northside Christian Church as a lead for chaperoning kids while parents are attending the Sunday services. She's done mission trips to Guatemala to help build homes for the community of San Raimundo, and she's the vice president of the National Honor Society and the Key Club at New Albany High School. So she's very busy, not only with sports, but academics and involvements in the school as well. Madison Lawson is the daughter of Wayne and Amy Lawson, and after high school, she's already got that associate's degree to her credit. She's going to head to IUPUI, and she'll be a physician's assistant. So big plans ahead, and she's going to play sports at the college level as well. Our hats off today to Madison Lawson, very good young lady at New Albany High School. Lots of accomplishments in sports, even more in the classroom. A very bright future ahead. And Madison, we're sorry you didn't get to finish your career on the field or on the track. It obviously had nothing to do with you, but we appreciate the efforts you put in over the years and, of course, all the commitment that you had, not just to sports, but to your school and your community at New Albany High School. Today we recognize New Albany softball player and track and field athlete Madison Lawson, again, of New Albany High School. That wraps up this Wednesday program. I'll be back with you Thursday at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Thank you, seniors, for the memories, and thanks all of our senior spotlight sponsors, Republic Bank, Allen Electrical, and upsjobs.com/Louisville.